This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott today. It's a phenomenon most people have gotten used to by now. You're looking for a new pair of boots online. Next thing you know, shoe ads are popping up on every web page you visit. Welcome to the world of intelligent marketing and consumer differentiation, where companies target their advertisements based on your unique trail of digital data. But how much can you really tell about a person based off their search history or the targeted ads that pop up when they're surfing the web? Well, let's find out. Jer Thorpe is an adjunct professor at NYU and co-founder of the Office for Creative Research, where he and a team of colleagues have been working on a web browser extension called Floodwatch, which basically collects, monitors, and analyzes your online advertising history. Jer, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So you engineered a little experiment to see how much someone could tell about you based on the personalized ads from your web browser. Tell us a little bit more about the experiment. What exactly did you do?
Well, what I did is I took about 2 weeks of advertisements that had been shown to me in the browser that I'd collected with Floodwatch. So this is about 2,000 ads, and I took a big image where I tiled them all together, and I sent them to 10 strangers, and I asked them to write a character profile of me. How do they imagine me just from these advertisements? Yeah, I mean the results are pretty funny. I think if you listen to my ad history, I'm an unemployed mid-20s male who plays video games a lot.
And are you? Is that what you are?
I am one of those things. The only thing they got right was my gender.
Ah.
So there were some pieces in these puzzles that people guessed correctly. One out of the 10 people guessed that I was Canadian, for example. Almost all of them said that I work with technology, which is true. So it's not that they were just completely absurd, but they didn't provide a very good picture.
Well, what were the ads? I mean, you know, if you could maybe, I know this sounds kind of strange, but walk me through the process of someone who might be trying to figure out something about you. You know, what were these ads that they were looking at,
yeah,
and what were they divining that information from?
Yeah, it's funny to kind of look through them now, because it was just 2 weeks of my life, and so some of the things that were happening in those 2 weeks that were kind of taken as things that define me as a person were just characteristic of that 2 weeks. Like, I think I, like, looked for underwear at some point. You know, I just, like, wanted to buy some new underwear at Uniqlo or something like that. So then, of course, there's, like, 30 ads about for underwear, which people interpreted in all kinds of different ways. You know, I'm looking at it right now, though. I mean, there's a couple of camera shops because, you know, again, I was looking for a new lens for my camera. There are a bunch of ads from Vimeo to subscribe to their pro service. There's a fair number of employment ads, which I have no idea where those came from. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But even me, knowing me, looking at this profile, I don't see a ton of myself in there. I mean, you called it intelligent advertising. One of the things that I think we've seen with this project is I don't think it's quite as intelligent as we think it is.
What were you trying to prove through this experiment? Just that?
Well, what we're trying to do is to try to reverse engineer these algorithms that advertisers are using to place ads in front of people so that we can understand what kind of decisions are being made, first of all, and what kind of data they may be using. Between the moment where you enter in the URL of a page and the time in which those ads appear on your screen, there's about 3 seconds usually. There's this whole auction that happens around you, around Taylor, around you as an individual to decide which ads appear on that screen. And that auction is totally informed by all these little tiny bits of data that are being collected about you. Some of that is about your browser history, but more and more and more, it's real-world stuff. It's which stores have you visited? When was the last time you bought a car? How many countries have you been in? Have you been in an airport? Have you checked into a hotel? There's a lot of information which is now being kind of baked together to try to make these targeted advertisements better. But we know very, 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 very little about that process because it's proprietary and nobody wants to talk about it.
It seems to me there's this sort of interesting divide in the rhetoric that we hear about targeted advertising. You know, on the one hand, privacy advocates worry a lot about advertisers knowing virtually everything about a person based off their search histories and other online data, and that this data collected en masse can sort of paint a very detailed portrait of a person. But I think practically speaking, the impression that many of us get when actually using the internet and I think your story speaks to this, is that, you know, these companies have no idea who we are, is that they're throwing ads at us hoping that they're relevant when so often they are only relevant to this one week where we were searching for this one thing.
Yeah, I think in some ways the advertising industry has got a little bit carried away with the kind of fun spy pursuit of people's hidden identities and how much they can put together from these little fragments of data that are being left behind, when really, you know, if they just asked us, they could probably get this information a lot faster. You know, there's all these guesses being made about what I'm interested in. You know, probably if you offered me a 10% discount on a new camera lens, if I told you my three top hobbies, I would just tell you.
So the tool that you offered these random individuals to help analyze your web browser ads, this is the thing called Floodwatch, which you helped develop. Tell us a little bit more about what that does. I mean, how does it format information? How does it present information so that we can, I guess, get something from it?
Yeah, I think conceptually it's sort of easy to think about it as being kind of a history page for advertisements, so that, you know, just like when you open up your browser history page and you can see which web pages you've been to, this lets me see which advertisements I've been shown. Now, it's a lot prettier than your history page. We do a lot of really fun visualization techniques that allow you to sort your ads by color, or sort them by the websites you've seen them on, or sort them by the category. So you can say, show me all the tech ads, or show me all of the movie ads that I've seen. We also give you a timeline so that you can maybe explore what times are you seeing the most ads, or how does a single ad reappear to you over weeks and months. And so for the individual, it's kind of a way just to get a glimpse into this exposure that we only usually get in bits and pieces. And then we're partnering with researchers who are going to take the aggregated data set and really be focusing on malpractice and differential practice and maybe even discriminatory practice.
Well, yeah, I read that, you know, the hope is that Floodwatch might be able to identify some of these sort of ethical dilemmas posed by targeted advertising. What do you think some of those ethical issues might be?
Well, I think it comes down to this idea that people from maybe underprivileged communities will be being seeing different ads than the same people who aren't in those underprivileged communities. So, you know, it may be about financial services. It could be that, like, certain types of financial services are being served to people who don't have a lot of money as compared to the financial services that are being served to others. You know, that's not a new practice. We know that, you know, if I want to attract wealthy people, I'm going to put an ad in a yacht magazine. That's not particularly new. What's new is how individualized it gets. That this is not happening now in kind of an optional way, like I may or may not pick up this yacht magazine, but instead it's kind of a blanket policy that's being applied to you as an individual.
Do you worry at all that companies and brands who, you know, are very interested in gathering data and looking at it in different ways might see a browser extension like Floodwatch and think, hey, what a great idea, and then modify it for the opposite purpose for which it was designed?
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. There's two problems with that, and the first is that they need to get enough users for it to be worthwhile. And, you know, our way that we're attracting users is to say, hey, come and help this big community engagement, this kind of collective common good thing. And so for an advertiser to do this, they'd probably have to pay people, which I'm not saying is impossible, but probably at the scale that we're trying to do it would be fairly difficult. But actually, I'll say that the response we've been getting from advertisers has been really, really surprisingly positive. You know, a lot of people have been saying, hey, this is good. This is a wake-up call for us as an industry. We have to be better at this. We have to be more responsible. We have to understand that at some point we're going to be breaching trust with consumers. So we should look at this as a good thing. It's a way for them to get some understanding of the system as a whole. You know, there's no watchmaker behind the advertising system. It's a jumble of thousands of different interests. And I think, you know, the good guys in advertising, I think they're looking at this very positively.
Well, Jer, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Jer Thorpe is an adjunct professor at NYU and co-founder of the Office for Creative Research. You can find out more about Jer Thorpe without having to look at his search history and learn more about the ad tracking web extension called Floodwatch. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you like what you heard, there's more at wordofmouthradio.org. Earlier in the show, we spoke to Bob Govert. He's a member of one of the most exclusive Star Wars fan clubs, the 501st, about what it takes to embody the characters.
There's a lot of painting involved. There's a lot of sewing involved with Vader. There's a lot of leather work. So if you're not able to do that yourself, you need to find someone who can do it for you.
We've compiled photos of Bob's costumes, including one of him as Darth Vader, hanging out at home plate at Fenway Park. You can see those, and we promise you want to, on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. Join us for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.